Welcome back to the MCP. My name is Rick Alexander. I host the Morning Coffee podcast 3 days a week. And of course, if 3 days a week isn't enough for you, then you could sign up for Monday's meditations as well. That's a whole other full-length episode, full-length being 10 to 15 minutes. That's a meditation type episode. I drop sources and things that I've been thinking about and using in my own personal growth. You can head to rickalexander.com if you're interested in that. Also, I've got a live event March 14th and 15th in Denver, Colorado. If you'd like to do a Clarity Academy workshop, that focus is on self-awareness, figuring out who you really are and what you want out of life. In addition, I've also wrapped those principles into a course called The Trials, which you can check out at wayoftrials.com. That's actually a collaboration project, and the whole point of that course is to do this deep work, to dive into self, to ask yourself the tough questions, and at the same time, learn how to design and build your own movement practice so that you can bring the physiological portion of your body and of yourself along with the psychological perspective. But if all of that sounds interesting to you, or if it's something that you want to dive deeper into, feel free to hit me up again at @RickAlexander_ on Instagram, and we can see if any of these are a good fit for you or not. Either way, I truly appreciate you tuning in day after day to listen to my message. Today I want to talk about the voice you've earned, because that's the one I always try to speak from. Today's lesson is one of the most potent I've learned lately, which, ironically enough, is about what I've learned thus far. The first thing we need to do is separate all of our knowledge about life into two categories. There are things you've learned by observing, and things you've learned by doing. Now, before we get into this message, I want to address a third category. These are the things you've first learned, and then implemented, and found truth in. But that's a lowercase t in truth, because it's what you've found. And so basically, you've combined the two modes of learning that we're going to talk about today to create deep ingrained thought patterns. Because those patterns are so ingrained, and because we often learn incorrect things about the world in that way, I'm going to leave that category out of this message. Unlearning unhelpful things is one of the biggest challenges that we all have in life. To teach someone how to transcend their own programming, I actually need hours and not a 15-minute podcast. I should mention, though, that just because you've cemented belief in that way does not mean that the belief is serving you. Yes, you found it to be true. Still, though, are all of your true beliefs actually working out for you? For example, you could have learned to be fearful around money, and then you could have lost money when you were careless as a young adult, and so now you've cemented that fear-based belief system about money. Most likely, it's not serving you, but because you've acted out what you've learned and you found resonance out in the world, you've been programmed. Again, seeing through and working through that programming is the reason I create curriculum and courses. But look, the point is that our outside world corroborates with our inside world, and so often we find what we believe is echoed around us out in the world. If everyone that cuts you off or can't figure out where they are going is an idiot, for example, you'll find that you live in a world full of idiots. When I stopped being at war with myself, I found that there was far more harmony and peace around me than I realized. But I digress, because that point is important, but not the main subject for today. Now, back to our original two categories of learning, observing and doing. Things you've learned by observing is a far larger category than things you've learned by doing. There are several reasons for this. The first, of course, is that as a human, this is what we do. We're information scavenging creatures, and so we thrive by the nature of our awareness. We notice how things are, how they seem to be, what people are saying, and what people are doing, and then we form ideas about how the world works. This gives us enough information to begin navigating through it. I heard holistic wellness practitioner Paul Check in a recent podcast referring to the result of what we learn as our ideaplex. The concept is that as we move through the world, we're forming ideas about it, and those ideas give us solid information to work off of. I cite the Paul Check comment because he had a good explanation of it in the show where he said, the reason that a baby doesn't understand not to poop on the couch or not to poop on themselves is because their idea about the couch and themselves aren't yet formed. They have no concept of self or couch or anything else for that matter. And so as our personality begins to form and take shape, we begin to separate ourselves from everything else. And side note, this is how the ego actually forms. It's said to be fully formed around 21 years old. And so as we continue to develop, we form ideas about what we are and what everything else is. Our idealplex, as it's referred to here, is actually the sum total of everything that you've learned. But I want to talk about the quality of the information that we have. You could say the quality of your idealplex. Most people don't separate out what they've learned in action from what they've learned by reading or observing, and because of that, they live with less clarity. We have to process and synthesize what we've learned if we actually want it to be any help to us. We have to embody our knowledge. Our learning by observing category is so big because it's far more efficient. For example, I can read someone's memoir and I can get a lifetime of knowledge distilled down. Theoretically, I can absorb some of that information without having to go through it all myself. The same thing goes with podcasts and a host of other new media outlets. Now, the point I don't want to be lost here is that with quantity, what you often see is a reduction in quality. If there's more of something, you'll see that there's often less quality of it. This is why people have so much trouble scaling a business. You'd think when a business is growing, it's fortified against dying, but that's not true. Many businesses die during growth phases because they don't know how to scale correctly. They lose track of quality, and the whole thing topples. If we haven't taken the time to sort through our own ideaplex that we are using to navigate the world, we'll find that we're constantly running up against error messages. When we run into negative feelings or emotion, the world is telling you something. You aren't in harmony with something. You've conceptualized something wrong. You're in a place you shouldn't be, etc. Now, this isn't to say that error messages aren't great learning tools, because they're actually the best. This is to say that if you are receiving an error message, you want to rethink your shit so that they stop. You're holding on to something that isn't serving you. You're doing something the wrong way. When you get these messages, the way you make sure you don't keep getting them is by paying attention. The world, amidst a difficult situation, often gives you the opportunity to rethink, reimagine, or rework a situation so that it's in accordance with universal law and not against it. You can stop and think, this is what I thought, and this is where it led me. You have to put down emotion, though, because we get pretty stupid when we get emotional. You might think during a breakup, I love that person completely, and this is where it got me. But as feeling and thinking creatures, we can be better than that. It wasn't love that got you there, but the way you went about expressing and receiving it, most likely. If you put down your ideas about something and pay attention to how it really is, it will tell you things that are extremely useful. In the last channel, I said that nothing could be more useful than you simply learning from your past without being caught in the emotions of it. The aforementioned breakup may tell you how not to be, what to look out for, what's true about people. But most of us feel so damn victimized that we can't see what the situation is telling us. Because we don't want to think deeply about it or haven't been taught to, we often either think we're shit or they're shit, neither of which are true. In the West, we've learned to dust off our brow, put our heads down, and keep moving. As Alan Watts says, we've learned that success goes to the hard-nosed. Hence the saying, when you're going through hell, keep going. And to this I would say, fucking maybe. Or maybe you should look around so you don't hit the roundabout on your way out and find yourself in the same place in 2 years. The most common way that we end up in hell, so to speak, is because we are operating off of information that we've learned by observing and haven't taken the time to make it work for ourselves. One of the pangs in my side about the work I do is that I know ultimately all of this advice is useless if you don't implement any of it and improve upon it. I'm talking about the world through my eyes, but if we all want to be satisfied with our lives, we have to see what works through our own lens. In companies, they often devise a way of stress testing their products. They devise a way to see how their products hold up against extreme scrutiny out in the world. When you battle test your ideas and enter the arena, whatever you're left with, you know will be solid because it stood against the realest thing that we have, existence itself. When we learn to follow our own guidance, part of that is observing our lives and what's working and what is not. I must say again, without emotion. When it comes to understanding the self, emotions create a web and it's hard to get through them. When we cling to what's good, we find ourselves perpetually stuck in what's bad. We rarely notice that it was our creation of good that created the bad. For example, almost all of us have an idea of who we should be, what we should do, etc. Our shoulds plague us daily and make it hard to simply do what we want to do, especially without guilt. But you see, it was the creation of the should that acted as a judge for the should not. We are often creating our own pain in that way. We just don't see it because it's the lens we're actually looking through. So again, I bring us back to the second mode of learning and the point of today's show. If we learn by doing, we've created a voice from experience, and the voice inevitably contains authority as long as we've taken the time to see the repercussions of our experience. Many of us give advice or do ourselves things we've learned by reading or listening. But someone else's advice isn't always for you and won't always work for you. Lots of people are reciting rhetoric or tidbits of things they've memorized but not embodied. If you want to speak with authority, be a leader and give depth to what you say, you have to speak from the voice you've earned. I know many people want to use things they know to help people but feel imposter syndrome when they try to begin crafting their message. But you aren't sometimes qualified to talk about life. It just feels that way when we talk about life from a ledge that we ourselves didn't climb up to. It's tempting to read something cool and want to tell everyone about it, but in that case, it's an inquiry. The moment you try to pass that information off as your own, you've begun to step off of the path of wisdom. The reason we're turned off by people on a soapbox, I presume, is because it takes very little intellectual or physical prowess to drag a soapbox into the street and start reading things from a judgmental tone. We feel inauthenticity, and because of that, the inflection carries a lack of authority. We are inherently interested in the guy or girl that walked through hell for what they know. Their passion comes across in their message. Their authority is felt as they draw their wisdom from the world itself. And honestly, if you're struggling to build credibility in whatever you do, that's where you'll want to begin talking from as well. Because the secret here is that we've all walked through our own personal hell. We're surrounded by trials and tribulations, and we're always walking into situations that we aren't ready for. If we can learn to get curious before anything else, before being angry, before being frustrated, before being sad, before ecstatic, before loneliness, before anything at all, if we can drop our own judgments and get curious, then for a brief moment, we might get the opportunity to connect with the wisdom of the world around us. And the thing is, the world's been around for millions of years, and the whole thing, against all odds, and I mean that literally, has found a way to keep existing. It all keeps going. The intelligence behind a world that exists in space and is yet shielded from it, a world where water always flows downhill but never runs out, that world has a lot to teach you about how to exist within it, but it's going to teach you through experience. This is why you have to be careful with wisdom you didn't earn. Because the chance of that wisdom not being wisdom at all and walking you into something you aren't happy with is increasingly likely. We have to reflect regularly and earnestly on our experience if we want to begin embodying what the world and our lives are telling us. This is why the Stoic philosophers were so potent, in my opinion. Because they weren't writing rhetoric. They were trying to teach themselves how to be a good man and exist in the world in that way. We can read what they thought, but it won't become wisdom until you embody it. Wisdom lives through us. We can't grab onto it like we can information. It is attained only when we give up our own ideas about the world and begin to accept what we're being shown. When we speak from that place, people listen, because truth has resonance in the body. When we recite bits of memorized information, we become a caricature or a meme of the wisdom itself. Memes are a lot of things, including funny and entertaining, but I wouldn't recommend living your life off of them. I love you. Have an amazing weekend. We'll chat Monday on Wednesday.